IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion, discussing the concept of Al-Quds Day, are two important guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Yasser Ibrahim and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
And Brother Yasser Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much.
So, Al-Quds Day, the last Friday of the month of Ramadan, which was named, by the late Imam Khomeini, after the Islamic Revolution of Iran took place in Iran, but this concept nowadays can be witnessed all around the world. And it is mostly juxtaposed with a kind of resistance movement, which has started from Palestine against the Zionism, but now it could be called the general topic or general concept against imperialism and colonialism all around the world. That's all right. Al-Quds Day, the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan, which was named as Al-Quds Day by the late Imam Khomeini, called all the Muslims to dedicate this day on demanding the rights of the oppressed Muslims around the world, particularly in Palestine. Now, we could see that Imam Khomeini was concerned with the Muslim Ummah and the community, in general, and all the Muslims around the world. And then it was expanded to all the Mustazafin, the oppressed people around the world. Now, if you want to use this concept, and this day, the significance of this day, Al-Quds Day, to establish a kind of dialogue or unity among the Muslims between the Shia and Sunni, how is it possible? This is with you, Sayyid Mohsen. How we can use it, how this concept can be used in order to establish unity, wahda.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Obviously, we know that the first person who announced the Quds Day was a Shia scholar, a Shia jurist, and a Shia leader, who was Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh. And when he said that the Day of Quds is the Day of Islam, it is not only the day for the Palestinians or the people who are living in the Quds, and it is a slogan of Islam. This is the day of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the wordings of Imam Khomeini.
That's right.
We know that the place where this oppression was taken place, that was a place where the Sunnis were living. Obviously, yes. Nowadays we can even see that in Palestine we have the Sunnis. But a Shia jurist stands up and he raises his voice for the Mustazafin and against the oppressors and the arrogant ones. And this shows us clearly that the stance of Imam Khomeini, the stance of the Shia world, is the stance of unity.
Yes.
Because we need to get united against the enemies. No matter this enemy is the Zionist regime or, other superpowers, if they are doing any activity against any Muslim, any school of thought that is related to the Muslims, this is an attack on Islam. This is an attack on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we believe in the verses of Quran because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu. Do not disperse. Hold firmly the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. This is the Quran.
Yes.
We all believe in one Quran. We all believe in
Islam. These are absolute clear, we can say, credentials that are accepted by all the Muslims. But why? Defending the rights of the Mustazafin and the oppressed one is forgotten now, Sayyid. What is the main reason?
The reason is that those who think they are the leaders of Islam,
okay,
or the Islamic countries, Islamic states, for example, if you look at the Arabic states,
okay,
the leaders that are leading, they do not have any concerns with the actual Islam. They do not practice the Islam. They are not practicing Quran. For example, we have seen them, drinking alcohol on the TV.
Okay.
Yeah. Whereas they call themselves being the servants of Haramain Sharifain, for example. We have evidences that how they are killing the Muslim brothers and sisters in Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen them supporting ISIS, killing innocent people in the Syria and Iraq.
That's right.
So this shows that these are some people who are hypocrites, who dressed in the dress of Islam. And on top of that, we know that these were plotted by British government. For example, the Saudi government that it came up, They were not in the power. It was the British government. It was the agents of the British government who bring them into power. And on top of that, we can see like how America is financing these countries.
That's right.
For example, they financed the Iraqi regime against Iran in the early time of the revolution, the Saddam Hussein.
Okay.
And later they went after him. They plotted Gaddafi. They plotted other people who were serving these people.
That's right.
And they have nothing to do with Islam because they have Muslim names. They show that they're Islam for Muslims. For example, Raza Shah before the Islamic Revolution, he used to go and visit the shrine of Imam Raza alayhi salam.
That's right.
He used to, you know, sometimes...
The Goharshad incident, you know, took place, that's right.
The pictures were like spreading in the newspaper.
Attacking
so people used to think that he's so religious, he's a Muslim. But from inside, he wasn't.
No.
He was one of the servants of the, you know, superpowers.
That's right.
All right. That's all right. As I said, we could see nowadays, you know, these geopolitical ties that are made and established between the Arab countries and some of the Western ones has changed the behavior. You know, sometimes you could see that. That's right. They invite the singers all from around the world to the countries, you know. They are the key holders of Kaaba, you know, the holiest, you know, sites of Mecca, Medina is near Riyadh. And they invite the singers over there, the dancers over there, you know, holding different championships, games over there. You know, this is really, really... shocking at how the key holders of Kaaba, you know, the holiest sites of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth could do such a thing. So normally speaking, I think the concept of, that's all right, the oppressed, you know, and the rights of the oppressed and the mustazafin will be forgotten. Even their own countries, you know, when you execute 81 people in a day, and, you know, the case is that the international bodies and the international organizations are silent about these things. You know, war is bad. You know, I know war is negative. The attack on the Russia and Ukraine is really negative. I don't want to defend it. But look at the media coverage, how they covered, you know, the attack on Russia to Ukraine and compare it with what? With Yemen, for example. The Saudis killing the innocent people over there in Yemen. I think day by day, as Brother Yasser Ibrahim really beautifully pointed out in the previous program, this is now not a religious problem. This is now a humanitarian problem all across the world, and the people have to take care of that. But is it possible by such a picture that we have nowadays, they established tie with Israel, they are very much like the Western people in their style, in the manner, in the politicians, Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Is it at all possible to establish unity between the Shia and the Sunni one this way? Or no, still there are some people among our Sunni brethren who believe, we can say, in defending the rights of the mustazafin.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We can answer this question in a theological manner, which we won't. But on the face value, yes, there is. I mean, we see it in many countries throughout the world, that when it comes to this particular issue, it is not only Muslims that come together, it is religions that come together. Even in certain countries, you have these, I think they call Orthodox Jews, they come out and they protest. In the UK, I've seen them. In South Africa, they come. In many of the other countries that they do protest, they do come. Like, so it is not only between, but it is only a small factor within unity. There needs to be more that should be done. Al-Quds, yes, can be a particular starting point that all Muslims believe in the Holy Quran, for example.
Yes.
They all believe in Masjid al-Aqsa, as mentioned in Surah Isra. They all believe that it's a sacred place. Therefore, all Muslims should believe it's a place that should be defended.
That's right.
So in this defense of all that is sacred, not only Masjid al-Aqsa, in all that is sacred, regardless of which religion it is done, like for example, the only religion that actually has a societal heartbeat is Islam.
Mm-hmm.
What do I mean? In certain countries, if for example a person, na'udhu billah, disrespects one of the other prophets, like, for example, they wear a T-shirt with one of the other prophets in a particular, you know, unethical manner.
Okay.
One of the other prophets makes a difference. The church will never say anything. The synagogue will never say anything. But as we saw with the cartoons,
yes,
I mean, say Mohsen mentioned one in something about what happened in Pakistan or what happened in other countries. You know, people took to the streets, people protested, people showed emotion. It shows that the religion still has a heartbeat. It still has certain sacredness to it. So it is not only that within Sunnis and Shias that these particular small things can. And also what we need to understand is what we mean by unity.
Yes.
I know people sometimes mistake unity to mean, okay, for example, a Shia becomes Sunni or a Sunni becomes Shia. That's not what we mean by unity.
That's right.
That's not what we mean by unity. Unity is that we have a common enemy, as St. Mohsen mentioned. If all the enemies can come together, like for example, one of the biggest packs that there is in the United States is this... this American
IPAC.
The Evangelical American Israeli thing, right?
Yes, yes.
I mean, they're Christians, and extreme Christians and extreme Zionists who have come together for a common goal.
Yes. And every year the president has to go and give a speech.
Yes,
right, over there.
Yeah, so this one of those particular, you know, organizations. But we as Muslims, you know, we forget, like, the Muslims fight over oil. They fight over,
okay,
I know, who owns what land, for example. So it's unfortunate in that sense. But there is a lot of potential for Al-Quds to be a starting point for unity,
mm-hmm,
especially in the unity that is required, which is what? Which is standing up as one group against a common enemy. Theological discussions, yes, are fine. That's one thing.
Yes.
That can remain in a different point. But now, I give an example, right?
Very good.
When the Hindus attacked the Muslims before the separation, St. Mohsen may know better than me. But when they attacked, they did not differentiate between a Shia and a Sunni.
Mm-hmm.
They saw a person who was wearing hijab or a Muslim, and they just went and they slaughtered those individuals. There was a speaker from South Africa who went and saw this. He said, look, this was at that time. It is now time for us to come, as a union. Our enemies don't see us as Shias. We see ourselves as Shia and Sunni. Our enemies don't see us like that. Our enemies see us as one group of individuals who we ready to destroy, regardless of whether you follow the Khulafa or the Imam. For them, it makes no difference.
Okay.
For them, they say a lady with a hijab, they don't care if she's Shia or Sunni. They want the hijab off her head, regardless. So it's a starting point that, you know, Al-Quds may be a starting point for that. It should be the starting point for that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen.
You're welcome.
And Brother Yasser Ibrahim for your presence in the program Viewpoints. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to the program Viewpoints on IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Call of Islam page. Also, a YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Palestine, tomorrow will be free.